Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Thursday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you've been with us this week, we've been in a series with Derek Prince called Facing the Future. And what a great series it's been. As Derek completed teaching yesterday, he was talking about a really important interpretive key for us because he was talking about the violence that dominates our age. He was comparing it to what Jesus said about the days of Noah, that there would be violence and there would be upheaval. And it was so important because it gives us a sense of comfort that when God inspired the writing of the scriptures, he included the things that we would need to know to live in this world. And so let's go right now to the teaching as Derek talks to us more about facing the future.
Now, for our next picture of what the world will be like toward the close of this age, we're going to turn to another parallel statement of Jesus a few verses further on in Luke chapter 17. That's Luke 17, verse 28, where Jesus says, "It was the same as happened in the days of Lot." In other words, he not merely compares this closing period with the days of Noah, but also with the days of Lot. Now, for a picture of the days of Lot, we have to turn primarily to Genesis chapter 19. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses of that chapter because I believe it's important to give you an accurate picture of what Jesus was talking about. Genesis 19, beginning at verse 1. "The two angels arrived at Sodom," that was where Lot lived, "in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. 'My lords,' he said, 'please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning.' 'No,' they answered, 'we will spend the night in the square.' But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, so that we can have sex with them.' Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, 'No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof.' 'Get out of our way,' they replied. And they said, 'This fellow came in here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them.' They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside, that's the angels, reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, 'Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it.'" Of course, the name of that city, Sodom, in the English language, was applied to a particular form of sexual perversion, which was called sodomy. Today that word is a little old-fashioned. Probably the most common word today would be homosexuality. Much of the time of Lot was similar to the time of Noah. But there was this special emphasis in Lot's time, which is so clearly brought out in the passage that I've read, an emphasis on homosexuality. And I believe you'll agree from the account that I read, it was not just something that was practiced in secret, but this particular version of it was brazen. It came right out in the open. It made no pretense. It offered no concealment. It was not merely passive. It was aggressive. It went out for victims. It searched for them with determination and with violence. And it was prepared, actually, to resort to physical violence. It embraced both the young and the old, and it ignored all accepted standards of behavior. Now, with that in your mind, I invite you to consider what we see in the United States and in the so-called Western world today. I'm going to leave you to draw the comparisons. Let me say only that from my own observation, in the past 2 decades, this particular trend has increased with absolutely unbelievable rapidity. I've been speaking about the evil elements that were conspicuous in the days both of Noah and of Lot. I've emphasized various forms of evil that were rampant. However, it would be wrong for me to close this picture of the days of Noah and of Lot without also presenting to you the positive side of the picture, for there was a very real positive side in 2 main respects. First of all, let's look for a moment at what the writer of Hebrews says about Noah in Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. The feature there that I want to point out is that Noah was not left in ignorance of what was coming on the earth. As God's faithful servant, he received direct from God supernatural revelation of what was to come on the earth, of how he could face it, of how he could prepare for it, and of how he could survive. God warned Noah in advance and showed him a way of survival. I believe tremendous dangers face us, catastrophes and judgments that we cannot fully measure or ascertain. But I believe in the midst of it all, God will still warn his faithful servants and show them a way of survival.
Isn't it amazing the way that troubled, dark, demonically inspired times look the same throughout history? Violence increases, homosexuality is rampant, other factors are common, and yet, as Derek points out, there's angelic assistance for the people of God. God is striving with his people. He's giving them the help that they need. What encouragement. Don't miss this next segment because there's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
As chaos spreads around the world, one thing is clear. Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, is increasingly the focal point of controversy, uncertainty, and strife on earth. Each day, a wave of anti-Semitism sweeps many parts of the world. You need to know what all this means, and more importantly, what you should do to be prepared. These are some of the reasons Derek Prince Ministries has released a new booklet by Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. This powerful little book explains how we should live in these last days. That is why we want you to have a copy free and postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your free copy of Surviving the Last Days, 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Prepare for the days ahead. 800-448-3261. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. As you know, if you've been with us, Derek is talking to us about facing the future. And in this next portion of the teaching, he's going to be talking to us about how the Holy Spirit shows us the things we need to know about what is to come in our lives. Let's listen.
Jesus promised this to his disciples in the person of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 13, he said this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." I believe it's very, very important. We see this is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to God's believing people, that he will tell us what is yet to come. Not all that is to come, but all that we need to know. All that we need to know for survival and for the fulfilling of God's purpose, the Holy Spirit will supernaturally reveal to us, just as he did to Noah. And then we've seen also that in the case of Lot, God sent angels to protect him and to deliver him. And I believe again, in these days of crisis and pressure, we can expect God in his faithfulness to do the same where it's necessary for us. I believe that we're entitled to expect the supernatural presence and assistance of angels. The writer to Hebrews says they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's the believers at this time. So although there's much that's evil and frightening in the picture of the days of Noah and of Lot, much that agrees with the evil and the frightening in our time, we must also look to the positive side. We must see that there was never a situation for which God did not have an answer prepared in advance. and the two particular positive features of those days were that God gave his servants supernatural warning in advance of what was to come and showed them how to survive. And he also sent angels to help, to protect, and to deliver. And I believe that we need and can expect from God just the same in these days. I'm going to be dealing with a comprehensive series of signs of the end of the age given us by Jesus himself. This is what we read in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 3. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? That was the destruction of the temple. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Note the question, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. That's always the first emphasis of Scripture, a warning against deception as the age closes. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, or the Messiah, and will deceive many. A well-known Jewish authoritative book records over 40 false messiahs who've come to the Jewish people since the time of Jesus and today. Then Jesus goes on, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. The mere fact of wars and rumors of wars is not by itself an indication that the end is immediately at hand. Then he goes on with what is the first actual major sign of the close of the age. In verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Side by side with that, we could put a verse from Luke 21:11, which records the same discourse of Jesus. And in that verse, it says there will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences. So in addition to the famines and earthquakes, we can add the pestilences. So here we have, in verse 7, the following major signs. International wars, worldwide wars, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences. Well, in my life, I've lived through two world wars. Today, famine is endemic in many areas of the world, and probably over 10 million people perish yearly through famine. Wherever famine comes, pestilence will almost always follow. There are areas of Southeast Asia where all this is being enacted just before our eyes. And then the scientific record of earthquakes shows an amazing increase in the frequency and intensity of earthquakes in the last 100 or 50 years. Now, having given those initial signs, international wars, earthquakes, famines, and pestilences, Jesus says all these are the beginning of birth pains. There's an analogy there. When a woman is going to shortly bring forth a baby, the birth pains set in. And we all know that the nearer the birth of the baby, the more frequent and more intense the birth pains become until the baby is eventually born. And so Jesus says, when these signs come into human history, they're indications of the birth of a new age which is at hand. And once these birth pains start, they'll become more frequent and more intense. And there'll be no way of reversing that process until the new age is born. Then he goes on in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 12, with a whole series of other signs. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. There's a clear statement that Christians are going to be subjected to worldwide opposition, hatred, and persecution. Verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. When it speaks about turning away from the faith, clearly it means the Christian faith. Under the pressure of that persecution that Jesus has spoken, some Christians will renounce their faith, and they will actually betray their fellow Christians, and hatred will develop between the Christians who remain loyal to Jesus and those who betray him. And those who betray their fellow Christians will betray them to the secular authorities for judgment. Verse 11, many false prophets will appear and deceive many. That's another major feature.
You know, I don't know about you, but I don't mind living through tough times as long as I know that God has prepared me for them, as long as I know they're no surprise to God, as long as I know he's given me the strength to do it. That's what we're learning from the Word of God today. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says,
Yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little tot secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. And if you've been with us, maybe you're feeling what I'm feeling, which is that great infusion of hope and inspiration and confidence about the future. I just want to steep my soul in that whole experience. If you feel the same way, there's a special resource that we have for you that we want to make sure that you avail yourself of. It's called Surviving the Last Days. It's a booklet from the pen of Derek Prince. And if you want this, and I urge you to get it, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org, or you can call us at 1-800-448-3261. I don't know about you, but when something touches my heart, I want to really stew in it. This will help you. Surviving the Last Days on the website, derekprince.org, or the phone number, 800-448-3261. Let's listen now as Derek continues to talk to us about facing the future.
Many false prophets will appear and deceive many. That's another major feature. When we speak about the word false prophets, we probably should associate it with the word cult, for the product of a false prophet is a cult. And then verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, but more correctly, lawlessness, the love of most will grow cold. Now, the word used for love there in Greek is agape, which is normally used for the love of Christians. And we have to face this very solemn fact that under the tremendous pressures of lawlessness, even the love of Christians will grow cold unless, of course, they're forewarned and take the necessary precautions to maintain their love for the Lord and for one another. Let me sum up now that list of signs of the end of the age contained in that discourse of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 that we've been looking at. Verse 7, international wars, famines, earthquakes, and also from Luke 21, pestilences. Verse 9, worldwide persecution of Christians. Verse 10, apostasy and betrayal among Christians. Verse 11, false prophets and cults. And verse 12, abounding lawlessness leading to lovelessness. How important we see that lawlessness leads to lovelessness. The world has got a false idea of love. The world thinks of love as free and uninhibited and you do what you please. That's not God's kind of love. God's kind of love requires discipline and self-control. It's not selfish. It's not aggressive. It's not self-seeking. It doesn't please itself. And only discipline will produce that kind of love in Christians. So lawlessness and the love of God are opposites. Where lawlessness abounds, the love of God is pressured out of people. Let me now point out just two main elements in this scene that Jesus paints. There are two main sources of pressure. The first is satanic spiritual pressure from the occult realm, and the second is pressure brought about by the progressive degeneration of human character. We can compare two passages in the epistles of Paul to Timothy. With regard to satanic supernatural pressure, Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Again, abandoning the faith refers to Christians. So under intense satanic, demonic pressure, some Christians will turn away from their faith and be deceived by demons. That's the pressure from the occult. Now, going on into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, we find the concurrent degeneration of human nature. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. You see, there's a list of 18 major moral blemishes that will become more and more obvious and more blatant as this age draws to its close, because the corruption of human nature initiated by sin is taking its full course. Note particularly the first and last items in that list. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, those are the first two items. The closing item, lovers of pleasure. Put those three together. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure. How far does that describe the world we see around us in contemporary Western culture? How far are people given over to love of self, love of money, and love of pleasure? And yet notice they're not irreligious people. They have a form of religion, but they don't let it change their lives.
You know, this teaching is powerful just as an exposition of Scripture. But what moves me in particular is are some things I know about Derek Prince's life. Some of you in the audience may recall that I wrote the biography of Derek Prince and had the privilege of spending time with him and studying his life for years. And what moves me so much as I listen to Derek teach this material is how completely different the Christian, Scripture-filled, Spirit-filled Derek Prince is from the Derek Prince of the early days. You know, in the biography, I spent a great deal of time talking about Derek's life at Cambridge and Derek's early years. And probably the only way really to describe him is that he was one bleak dude. I mean, he wrote poems about having winter in his soul. He was a philosopher who saw a kind of a futility about life on earth. Without question, suffered from depression, didn't believe that there was really much purpose in life. And as many of you may recall, he was a conscientious objector during World War II. And really in his early days, almost as a matter of philosophy, saw life as futile. He was a Platonist, and during his college years, I think that and some other philosophical issues and conditions in his own soul led him to drink heavily and other things. And then he became a believer. And even in the middle of World War II, in the bleak desert regions of North Africa, as Montgomery was fighting Rommel, and many of you will know that military history, but the bleakness of the desert, Derek began to be a man of hope. He began to lead his men in their medical unit because he had hope in his soul, and he believed things were not just going to turn out well for him personally in the short term, but that God was ruling in history. And this became one of his great themes throughout his ministry, the hope that is possible because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. The hope that is possible because Jesus rules on earth. And you know, this is the thing I hope this teaching is inspiring in your soul, that we're not meant to be negative, dour, whining believers. You know, it doesn't really matter who wins the next election in one sense, because Jesus is still on the throne, still reigning, still giving authority to his people to change the world. This is exciting, exciting material. Listen, tomorrow on Friday, you need to join us because Derek's going to continue to develop these themes and embed these truths in our heart. But that's all the time we have today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to get your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, Surviving the Last Days. It's yours free and postage paid when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to order your copy of Derek's book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.